trying to reserve a spot in the playoffs in Winnipeg for the first time in 19 years. Currently, they have the second wild card spot, 4 points up on the Los Angeles Kings. Brian Munns, voice of the Jets on TSN, joins us. Munzie, how are you?
I missed you guys too.
Well, Nighty was telling me that's like your favorite song. You sing it all the time. I love it.
Yeah. He's wrong.
I guess quickly update us on Matthew Perreault. What's his status? When's he coming back?
Hopefully in the foreseeable near future. He came on the ice at the end of the pregame skate this morning. He, Dustin Byfuglien, and Ben Chiarot all came out in an orange non-contact jersey, and we're on the ice for about a half hour, so that's a good sign. And obviously now that he's back on the ice means he's pretty close. So hopefully, I don't think we're going to see him or really any of the guys, including Brian Little, that won't play here tonight against the Oilers in Vancouver tomorrow, and then the Jets are back home for a four-game homestand on the weekend. So hopefully at some point in that they can get him back, because he was playing lights-out hockey and was a huge threat in the offensive zone and a big portion of their power play before he got injured, and has been a costly deletion here. So hopefully he's back sooner than later, obviously, with where they are in this very interesting Western Conference playoff battle right now.
Munzie, I'm sure no one's sitting around saying this is a must-win for the Jets, but when I look ahead to the remaining, 10 games, it doesn't get easier from here, that's for sure, with Blackhawks and Rangers. Is this basically a must-win game for them?
I think all the remaining games are shreds when you look at it, just based on the fact of everybody they're battling with right now, be it Los Angeles, Calgary, Vancouver. Right now, all the way down through there here, none of those teams are seeming to drop any ground themselves. Every night you look at the scoreboard and it seems like they're either getting a clean 2 points or they're able to get the game into overtime and be able to get one. So there's no question the Oilers are the lowest seeded team that they're going to see to close out the regular season schedule here. So they want to win this one, but there's also a big, huge red circle on the game in Vancouver tomorrow night. They've got tomorrow night and then they've got one more in Winnipeg against the Canucks that, obviously, if either team had an opportunity to get those, you'd think you'd give yourselves a pretty good chance to get one of those spots. So it should be interesting. I know they're not taking it lightly. That's the one thing that was really stressed this morning and even flying in here yesterday. Everybody's kind of watching what's been going on here and seeing the fact that they haven't lost in regulation in their last four games. And Todd's done such a great job with this team here that, it's going to be I think it's going to be a great hockey game tonight. I really do.
Munzie, who has Myers played predominantly with, and who do you think he'll play with come playoff time?
Well, he's been with Toby Enstrom ever since he got here, and I think that's going to continue on. And the relationship that those two have been able to build on ice has been spectacular to see, the instant chemistry, especially when you look at the size difference between the two guys. You've got really the tallest guy and the shortest guy playing together, and their sticks are only about 2 inches difference in length. Toby likes to use the long one, and of course Tyler has the exemption because of how big he is. So they've been a great mix. Enstrom's a great passer, a great distributor of the puck, and Tyler Myers has that big shot from the blue line that has worked out really well together. So they've been a really good fit together, and I know Charlie Huddy's been really excited with the way they've been able to play, especially here in the absence right now of Dustin Byfuglien.
Munzie, where does Byfuglien fit in when he gets back? I mean, obviously he's going to get his minutes, but who's his partner?
That's a good question right now, because they're just, still working through things. At the end of the day, when Ben Chiarot went down, it seemed like it was Byfuglien and Chiarot, and then you had Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba, and then you would have had the two we were just talking about in Enstrom and Meyer, so you'd think those would be the top six, but Jay Harrison's had some serviceable minutes here, and Adam Party's been a big portion of their penalty kill here as of late that, Paul Maurice has really liked to use him as one of the guys. Just he didn't have a lot of five-on-five time, but more on the penalty kill where he's shown his knowledge in that regard. So I'm kind of intrigued as to see who that number six defenseman will be if there were a time here moving down the stretch that they finally had everybody back here and healthy.
What do you think happens to Frolik? Does he get re-signed or does he go to UFA in the summer?
I don't know. That's a good question, and that's one that a lot of us have been looking at as to where he'll fit into this whole thing. You know, they've got a few guys that are going down that unrestricted free agency road with, you know, Drew Stafford coming in, and such a great story that he's been since the Buffalo trade that you got to wonder exactly where they're going to earmark their dollars to. And then both Ladd and Bufflin have 1 year remaining on their contract, and what does Kevin Cheveldayoff want to do with those guys? You'd think that those conversations would start here in the near future, where they didn't take it all the way down to the ninth hour and then lose them to unrestricted free agency a year from now. So that that's one that has a lot of people wondering right now as to how the whole thing's going to play out.
Munz, when I look at the centerman for the Jets, I know Little's out. I get a little bit antsy as far as, is there the depth to compete with some of those other Central Division teams. Am I on the wrong side of that conversation?
No, I don't think so, but I will say, and Paul Maurice has mentioned it a lot here as of late, Adam Lowry and Mark Scheifele have really been able to pick up Little's minutes and have done just a great job and probably have exceeded what everybody thought they would have been able to do against, as you allude to, so many big centers, especially out here in the Western Conference. Lowry maybe more than Scheifele, just because of the fact that it's his first year, but the God-given ability that this kid has, and being 6'5" doesn't hurt either, where he's been able to use his strength on that line with Michael Frolik and Andrew Ladd. And then Mark Scheifele has found great chemistry since Stafford came over in the Sabres trade with Blake Wheeler, and has really given them two lines that that they really haven't missed a lot with the absence here of Brian Little. So it's been good. It's been one of those stories here more or less since late November, when the injury bug really started to hit this hockey club, is when somebody's gone down, they've been able to get somebody a little bit more ice time or a little bit of a different or expanded role, and it's worked out really well for them.
Brian Munz, voice of the Winnipeg Jets, joins us. Jets in town to take on the Edmonton Oilers tonight, 7:30 start. Of course, no lineup changes for the Edmonton Oilers. You mentioned earlier how the Jets obviously not going to take anything for granted. They need the 2 points, and you know Edmonton takes a lot. Their final 10 games are all against the West, and excluding the Ducks, all the teams are battling for a playoff spot. I haven't looked at the Jets' last 10 games, Munzee, but I do know they finish off against Calgary and LA in their final two, which is, you know, perfect scheduling maker. But between now and then, are they getting a heavy dose of teams they're playing against? Are they facing the top dogs in the West? How's their schedule look?
Yeah, it's not easy, and that's you know, that's probably the one thing that the Jets look at when you look at the other teams that they're playing against, is they have, you know, no disrespect, after the Edmonton game here, they've got real legitimate contending teams all the way through. You've got the Vancouver game tomorrow, so you're playing back-to-back with travel tonight. Now, the good part about that is you have an opportunity to gain an hour, and then they head back home, and they play every second night against Montreal, the Rangers, Chicago, and Vancouver. And then they've got a 3-game road trip that goes Minnesota, Denver, and St. Louis. And then they come back home and, as you alluded to, wrap up against the Canucks and the Flames. So more or less, they control their own destiny. If they can have success here against a number of these teams, then they're going to give themselves a pretty good opportunity to get in. The one question I still have is how and if the Los Angeles Kings will be able to get themselves right back in it here, because I just look at everything they've gone through over the last 3 years. You've got to think that the experience is going to be in their favor here, where they may be able to get some points. But in saying that, on the other side of the spectrum is, have Los Angeles kind of worn themselves out winning two of the last 3 years, and is the time and all the games they've played kind of catching up to them a little bit here this year? So it's going to be fun. The last few weeks here of the regular season, to be in the midst of it and to see the battles that are going on between these five teams really for three playoff spots is pretty cool to be a part of right now.
Well, the city of Winnipeg must be going nuts. They're starving for playoffs. 19 years, I know there was a long gap with no NHL team, but
yeah.
That city must be electric right now.
Well, it is. And really, guys, it reminds me of when I was here in 06, when, you know, it took, I think it was, the second last regular season game or the third last game before the Oilers were able to clinch, and then as the low seed going against Detroit and be able to get the upset in round one against the Red Wings. I think the Jets are kind of in that same category right now, where when you talk to some of the different teams that Winnipeg has played as of late, they don't want to play them in round one because they've got such a big, heavy team. And if you were to go 6 or 7 games in pretty much 2 weeks against that same club, you'd be pretty banged up and pretty worn out by the time you were getting into the second half. And the Jets think if they have an opportunity to get in here that they may be able to spoil somebody's party early on in the first or second round. And they've matched up pretty well against Anaheim. St. Louis has had their number all year except for the last game we saw here a couple of days ago. So it's going to be fun. You know, that's, I think, one of the great things about the playoffs, and especially out here in the West right now, is you never really know what's going to happen until you step onto the ice.
Always appreciate your time, Munzee. We'll see you at the rink.
Sounds good, boys. Talk to you then.